بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
إن الحمد لله. All praises be to God. نحمده. We praise Him. ونستهديه. And we ask Him for guidance. ونستغفره. And we ask Him for forgiveness. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. And we ask refuge with God from our own evil souls and from our own evil deeds. من يهده الله فهو المهتد. Whomever God guides is a guided person, and وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا, and whomsoever God let go astray, so you will never be able to guide him. أَمَّا بَعْدَ. And after that, inshallah, today we're going to continue what we started 2 episodes ago. We're going to continue talking about intentions in Islam and what intentions mean, and this is a very important topic, as we explained in the last 2 episodes. Also, in today we're going to mention some of the great hadith, some of the great sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're going to explain exactly what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant and how these hadiths were applied at his days. Now, let's just start with this hadith, which is narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Allah may God be pleased with him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Anas ibn Malik narrates, he said, Allah's Prophet returned from the battle of Tabuk. And Tabuk is a city in what we call now Saudi Arabia. So Allah's Prophet returned from the battle of Tabuk. And when he approached Medina, he said, there are some people in Medina who were with you all the time. You didn't travel any portion of the journey, nor crossed any valley, but they were with you. O Allah's Prophet, the people asked, they said, O Allah's Prophet, even though they were at Medina, he said, yes, because they were stopped by a genuine execute. A very noble and a very important saying by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this again. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great teacher. And while coming back from the battle of Tabuk, he's teaching his companions. He's teaching his followers. He's teaching them about intentions. He's teaching them about how important your faithful heart is. How important in this religion. Okay? Now, look at this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling his companions that there are people in Medina who are with you right now. In every portion of your journey, they are with you. So people were astonished. And how could that be, O Prophet? They are in Medina and we are here. How could they be with us? He said, because they were stopped by a genuine execute, by a true execute. They couldn't come to fight with the Muslim brothers for a true reason, not for a false reason, not for a silly reason, not for lies. No, They couldn't come out with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam fighting the enemies of Allah. They couldn't do that because of a true reason. And we know exactly, of course we know, that there is a big thawab, a big reward for following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and obeying his orders and fighting the enemies of Allah and the enemies of his Prophet and the enemies of Islam. So those people along with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they heard the Prophet saying, there are some people in Medina who were with you all the time. You didn't travel any portion of the journey, nor cross any valley, but they were with you. So people were such, how could that be? How could that be? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained to them that they are with you because they had a true reason. That something true stopped them from coming out and fight with you. Something true. And this is why they're going to get a reward for their pure intentions. So, we've got some very important morals out of this hadith that we have to mention and some points. Number one, if someone intended doing something good, but he couldn't because of something else, he would get a reward for his good intention.
Great.
Amazing. So, for example, you wanted to help a poor man. Well, that's a very good intention. Your heart is in the right place. Why you couldn't help them? Why you didn't get money, for example? Okay? You expected some money, but you didn't have it. So you couldn't help this poor person, but you had this intention. God is going to give you a reward for your pure intention. And this is what we call a reward for the intention. Well, this is number one. Okay? And number two, a reward for the full deed. A reward for the full deed, which is bigger. For example, imagine someone who used to pray every day in the masjid. He used to perform the five prayers in the masjid. He's a very good Muslim. Okay? Now, and one day he became very ill and he couldn't go to the masjid. Because he became very ill. Now God is going to give him a full reward, a reward for the full deed. Somebody may ask why he didn't go to the masjid. Yes, but God is going to give him his full reward, a full reward for the deed as if he went to the masjid. Why? Because this is what he used to do. And he was stopped only because he became ill. He couldn't do it only because he became ill. So God is going to give him the full reward of the deed. Now, here we've got two kinds of rewards. A reward for the intention and a reward for the full deed. Okay? Now, you don't usually fast, but you decided that you are going to fast for tomorrow. Then you became ill, you couldn't fast. Then you're going to get a reward for your intention. Why? Because you didn't used to fast, but you have this intention for tomorrow, so you get a reward only for your intention. But if you are one of those who fast, usually on that day, like for example, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on Monday and Thursday. Okay? And many people follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they fast on Monday and they fast on Thursday. So if you are one of those who used to fast on Monday and Thursday and one day you were stopped by a disease or because you are ill, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give you the full reward for the full deed. Why? Because this is what you used to do. And this is one of the benefits that we get from this hadith. That even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his words. He's trying to tell his companions that there is no place you went to without those people in Medina. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Every place you trod, every place you moved in, every place you walked in, those people are with you. While they are in Medina, back at the homes. Why? Because of their hearts. A heart is very important. Your heart is very important in this religion, in Islam, because Islam is about sincerity. Islam is about faithfulness. Now, let's move to something here. And so, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that if someone traveled or became ill, he would be rewarded for what he used to do as if he were healthy and present. Okay? Now, and this is what we were talking about. Now, another hadith here also that is on intentions. And it's narrated by Abu Hurairah, may God be pleased with him. Some poor people came to the Prophet and said, the wealthy people will get higher grades and will have permanent enjoyment. And they pray like us and fast as we do. They have more money by which they perform the Hajj and Umrah, fight and struggle in Allah's cause, and given charity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I not tell you a thing upon which if you acted, you would catch up with those who have surpassed you? Nobody would overtake you, and you would be better than the people amongst whom you live, except those who would do the same. So, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued giving them teachings. He said, say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. 33 times each after every prayer. One more time. Poor people came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were very upset. They were very sad. But why were they sad? They were sad because they pray and they fast. And rich people also pray and fast. But there is a problem here. Rich people, they use the money for helping God and His Messenger, for aiding God and His Messenger, for helping the religion. Now look at this. So those poor people are jealous. They want this reward. They want a reward of this. They don't know what to do. They want to get to the highest degree in paradise. They want God to be pleased with them. So they need money not to enjoy themselves, not to drive expensive cars, not to build luxurious houses. No, they need money to support the religion of God. So they say, O Prophet, we pray and we fast, and rich people also pray and fast, but they have money. And they spend the money in charity, and they use the money to fight in the cause of Allah and His Messenger. We don't have that. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them advice to say, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, glory be to God. Alhamdulillah, all praises be to God. Allahu Akbar, God is great. 33 times each after every prayer. So when you finish prayer, you start repeating, Subhanallah. You say it like that, Subhanallah. Why do you believe in it? Subhanallah. Glory be to God, glory be to God, glory be to God. You say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. 33 times. And you say, Alhamdulillah, all praises be to God. And you remember every grace given to you by God while saying that. Say that 33 times. All praises be to God. Alhamdulillah. 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 You praise God for everything He's given you. And He's given you everything. Everything in your life is from God. Hands, eyes, body, heart, wealth, cars, houses, anything, country, weather, air. Everything is from God. So while saying that, you carry all this in your mind. And you say, Allah is great. And you feel how great God is. And you know deep down in your heart that God is greater than anything else in the world. Now, so, and they say that after every prayer, every compulsory prayer, the main five prayers. So, the rest of the hadith, we differed. And some of us said that we should say, Subhanallah, 33 times, and Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. I went to the Prophet who said, say Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar all together for 33 times. This is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in other hadith. But also something that I really need also to add here, and something that I need to explain in this hadith. Look at the intention of those Muslims. Look at the intention of those Muslims. A lot of us want to be millionaires. Many people want to have lots of money. But what are their intentions? Why do they really need all this money? Why? Some of them just need money in order to be respectful among people. Some people want money in order to get cars, to travel all over the world. But those people, they didn't ask for money for that. They were not complaining, they were just thinking all what they were thinking about in the hereafter. They want to be closer to God. And they think that because rich people, they have money and they spend the money for the sake of God, so they're going to be better than them in the sight of God in the hereafter. Now look at their intentions, great. And remember with me this very important hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad described for us four kinds of people who live on earth. Four kinds of people. The first kind, which is the best one, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is a man or a person who was given money and knowledge. Look at this. Money and knowledge. Great. So, he's got money and knowledge of his religion. So, he spends his money according to the law of God. And he obeys his God. He obeys God in his money. He does not spend money on things that makes God angry with him. So this man is in the best position. Now look at the second person. Someone who is given knowledge but not money. But he has a pure intention deep down in his heart. He says, if I were given money, I would do as this righteous person does. See? So he's got a reward that is equal to this rich man. Why? Because of his pure heart. He's got the same reward. Why? Because his heart is in the right place. And then look at this. And the third person is a man who is given money but not knowledge. So he does whatever he wants with his money. Okay? And he doesn't give, you know, like, he doesn't care about God's religion. He doesn't care about God's laws. He doesn't care about God. He does whatever he needs with his money. He does whatever he wants with his money. Adultery, homosexuality, stealing, injuring people, hurting people, whatever. Nudity, all kinds of sins. He's got money, he doesn't care. So this person is in a very bad position. But the worst person in position is the fourth kind that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the fourth kind is a person who is not given money and not given knowledge. And he says, if I had money, I would do as this person does. Ooh. If he would give him money, he would do exactly what this evil person does. So, along with this evil person, they have, you know, like, they're going to have a grievous punishment. Why? Because his heart is not right. So look at how important intentions are. Very important. Controlling everything. Okay, now look at this. And this is why God says in the Holy Quran, مَا كَانَ لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفُوا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَرْغَبُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ ذلك بأنهم لا يصيبهم ظمأ ولا نصب ولا مخمصة في سبيل الله ولا يطؤون موطئا يغيظ الكفار ولا ينالون من عدو نيلا إلا كتب لهم به عمل صالح إن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. Now look at this. It was not fitting for the people of Medina and the Bedouin Arabs of the neighborhood to refuse to follow Allah's messenger, nor to prefer their own lives to his, because nothing could they suffer or do but was reckoned to their credit as a deed of righteousness, whether they suffered thirst or fatigue or hunger in the cause of Allah. Very important. In the cause of Allah. Only for God. This is why they're doing all this. Only for God. In the cause of Allah. In the cause of Allah. Or trod bars to raise the ire of the unbelievers. Or received any injury whatever from an enemy. For Allah suffers not the reward to be lost of those who do good. So if you do good things in the cause of Allah, only for the sake of God, not for people to see you, not for people to say that you're honest, that you are righteous, you're doing this only for God, you get a good reward. You get a great reward. Okay. Now, another hadith here. And it's also narrated by Abu Huraira. May God be pleased with him. He says, Allah's Prophet said, the reward of a prayer offered by a person in congregation is 25 times greater than that of a prayer offered in one's house or in the market alone. And this is because if he performs ablution and does it perfectly and then proceeds to the mosque with the sole intention of praying, then for every step he takes towards the mosque, he is upgraded one degree in reward and his one sin is taken off, crossed out from his accounts of deeds. Subhanallah. When he offers his prayer, the angels keep on asking Allah's blessings and Allah's forgiveness for him as long as he is staying at his masjid or musalla. They say, O Allah, bestow your blessings upon him, be merciful and kind to him. And one is regarded in prayer as long as one is waiting for the prayer. Now here is intentions. So subhanAllah. You go to the masjid, you go to the mosque, but with the sole intention of praying. Now what happens? God gives you a reward with every step. You give a step, you take a reward. Another step, a sin is crossed out. Great. And then you are in praying as long as you are waiting for the prayer. So if you got into the masjid and you are waiting for the imam to start praying and you pray with him, you are in prayer. Why? Because this is your intention. You are in the masjid for one reason. You are waiting until you pray. So you get a reward for praying, even if you don't. How great is that? Intentions. Intentions are great. Intentions are great. Now, another hadith here. And it's narrated by Ma'an ibn Yazid. Ma'an ibn Yazid. He said, my grandfather, my father, and I. Now look at this. So the narrator of this hadith is talking like that. Ma'an ibn Yazid, he said, my grandfather, my father, and I gave the pledge of allegiance to Allah's Prophet. The Prophet got me engaged and then got me married one day. The Prophet got me engaged and then got me married. One day, I went to the Prophet with a complaint. One day, I went to the Prophet with a complaint. My father, Yazid, had taken some gold coins for charity and kept them with a man in the masjid, in the mosque, to give them to the poor. But I went and took them and brought them to him, to my father. And my father said, by Allah, I didn't intend to give them to you. So I took the case to Allah's Prophet. On that, Allah's Prophet said, O Yazid, you will be rewarded for what you intended. And O man, whatever you have taken is yours. Great. Now look at this. Son and a father and a problem, a case. The father took the money to the masjid in order to be kept there for poor people. Charity, money for charity. He took the money to the mosque so that this money should be given to the poor later. And his son, being a poor person, came to the masjid and took the money because he was poor, so he was given the money. So when his father knew about that, he was angered. He said, I didn't mean you by that money, because those people were so worried about the religion. They wanted that whatever they do should be only for the sake of God. So he wanted somebody other than his son to take the money. Okay? So it becomes in this case a full charity. A full charity. He wanted to give this money to other persons, not to his son. And his son took this money without his father's knowledge, because he was a poor person. So he went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, telling the Prophet about that. So the Prophet said, everybody, okay, is going to be rewarded according to his intention. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Yazid, you will be rewarded for what you intended. So don't worry. Don't worry. And O man, whatever you have taken is yours, because he's really a poor person. So very simple. So for example, you saw a poor person on the street, you gave him money, but later you discover that he's not poor. He's not poor. He was pretending, but he's not a poor person. He was deceiving you. Do not worry. Your money that you spend is not in vain, because God is dealing with us according to our intentions. When I gave him the money, I intended to please God. I thought he was a poor person. I didn't know he was pretending. So that's it. This is the most important thing here. Now, the morals out of this hadith. We can get some morals out of this hadith. Number one, the reward is based on intentions, even if your intentions were not fulfilled. And we said that true. Okay? So you wanted to do something, but you couldn't. But your intention is good. So alhamdulillah, you're going to get your reward for that. And number two, man can give charity to one son. If you want to give charity, and you feel that your relatives, some of your relatives are very poor, so it is better that you give them first, so they are closer to you. If you know that they are truly poor and they need money, you have to help them first. So as we said, okay, if you have relatives who are poor, you better give them the money or the charity money that you want to give to others. Start with your relatives first. Start with people who are closer to you. Start with your family members. This is what you are supposed to do. And the proof about what I'm saying could be traced in one of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sayings, that Zainab, and she was the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may God be pleased with him, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Zainab wanted to give money in charity. She wanted to give charity for poor people. Then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud told her that your husband and your son are worthy of that money. We needed this money. We need this money more than others. We are poor already. So we are in need for this money. If you're going to give this money you have for poor people, we need it more than others because we are already poor. So she said, no, I'm not going to do it until I go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him. Then she went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she told him the story. He said, your husband was true. Your husband and your son are worthy of this money more than others. SubhanAllah. So this is what you should do. If you have a relative who is poor, you need to give them money fast. Okay? So if you have money to give to poor people, start with your family members. Start with people closer to you. Start with your neighbors. Give those people money. Make them happy. And if they're happy and they're ready, good enough, you can give money to others. Okay, so it's one by one. You got the idea. So it goes like that. But there is something that is very important and we need also to say here. In Islam, we have zakah. And zakah is the obligatory charity that every person should pay in Islam. So a Muslim should pay an obligatory charity decided on by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this money for charity is given to poor people so that we can live in a society that is full of harmony and full of love and required to put an end to poverty. Well, okay. Yeah. So, money for zakah, money for the obligatory charity that I should give to others, to give to poor people. What would I do if I had a poor son? What would I do if I have a poor son? Can I give him money out of zakah because he's poor? Yes, I can. So if you have a poor son and you feel that he needs help right now and he deserves this money that is specified for obligatory charity, you can give this money to your son, but under one condition, that this money you're going to give to your son is not going to abolish, is not going to delete, is not going to put an end to your duty towards your son. For example, a man is supposed to take care of his son. He's supposed to take care of his son financially. He's supposed to give his son money so that his son can live. This is his duty. This is what he should do. This is what he must do. This is his job. Okay? So, if I gave money out of obligatory charity with the intention that I'm not going to spend money on my son anymore, no, forget it. It doesn't work. For example, a man is supposed to support his wife financially. But he felt that his wife is in a bad need for an operation. For example, he can give her money from charity, from the obligatory charity, from zakah. But this money doesn't mean that his responsibility towards his wife is over. No. Anyway, he is responsible for spending money on his wife and for giving money to his wife. Okay, now. Another hadith here. And also we're still talking about intentions. And this hadith is narrated by Amir ibn Sa'd, that his father said in the year of Hajjat al-Wada', and Hajjat al-Wada' is the last pilgrimage performed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he died. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid me a visit. So the speaker here is Amir ibn Sa'd's father. Okay, he said, the Prophet paid me a visit while I was suffering from an ailment that had brought me to the verge of death. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is talking about that. He said, in the year of the last pilgrimage performed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet paid me a visit while I was suffering from an ailment that had brought me to the verge of death. I said, O Allah's Prophet, my sickness has reduced me to the bad state as you see, and I'm a rich man. I am a rich man, but I have no heirs except one daughter. Shall I give third of my property in charity? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no. I said, then half of it? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even one third is too much. So again, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said, shall I give two thirds of my property in charity? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. So he said, then half of it? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, third is too much. For to leave your inheritors wealthy is better than to leave them in poverty, begging from people. And know that whatever you spend in Allah's cause, you will get reward for it, even for the morsel of food which you put in your wife's mouth. I said, O Allah's Prophet, will I be left behind my companions in Mecca? He said, if you remain behind, whatever good deed you will do for Allah's sake will raise and upgrade you to a higher position in Allah's sight. Maybe you will live longer so that some people may benefit by you and some others may get harmed by you. O Allah, complete the migration of my companions and do not turn them on their heels. But we pity the poor Sa'd bin Khawla. Sa'd bin Khawla, he died in Mecca. Allah's Apostle lamented or pitied for him as he died in Mecca. This is a long hadith that needs some explanation here. And let's start one by one to read it again and to get morals out of it. Now, the narrator of this hadith is Amir ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. Now Amr is telling this story that is said by his father. His father told him this hadith, told him about this situation that happened between him and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was one of the closest companions to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of the greatest also. And this situation happened in the last Hajj performed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, known as the pilgrimage, or we call it the goodbye pilgrimage, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died after performing this last Hajj or this last pilgrimage. That Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and he was very ill. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, while he was very ill, he expected that he would die. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas expected that he would die. So he wanted to give his money in charity. So he started talking to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to give two thirds of my money. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. So he said, so half of my money. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. So and then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the third of your money, and it's too much. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him that it is better to leave your heirs rich other than poor, begging for money from everyone. Now look at what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said exactly. To leave your inheritors wealthy is better than to leave them in poverty, begging from people. And this is a very great lesson that we need to give heed to. We need to listen to that carefully, because some people, when they feel that they are going to die, either here in the East or the West, they made very irrational decisions. They decide that they're going to give all the money in charity, and they think that this way they please God. No, they are imagining. These are illusions. No, it doesn't make God happy when you do that. You have to keep money for your inheritance. This is the right inheritance. They should get money so that they can live. Not to take all the money to give them to others and you leave your inheritance. Poor, asking for others and begging for others. This is not justice. No, not right. Only if you're going to do it, you're going to give the third. So if you're ill and you expect death, you are not allowed to give all your money in charity. Only the third. And it is too much, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, which means that less than the third is going to be better. Now one more time. So if somebody is about to die and he wants to give money in charity, if you have a disease and you feel that it's going to be your end, you are not allowed to give your money in charity except third of it. And it's too much, which means if you want the best, so give what is less than the third. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the third is too much. But if you are a healthy person, it's your money. If you want to give all your money in charity, do it. As long as you are healthy and no problem. But if you have a disease and you expect death, you expect that, you are not allowed to give all your money in charity. Because you don't have now full right over your money. Only third of it is going to be given for charity if you want, and less than third is going to be better. But as long as you are a healthy person, you've got full control over your money, you can give to other people, no problem. Now, and look at this. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever you spend in Allah's cause, you will get reward for it. Even for the morsel of food which you put in your wife's mouth. Because a man is responsible for his wife and his family. A man should bring food to his family. He's the breadwinner. So his family is his duty. He should feed his wife and his kids. So this is his duty. But if he does that to please God, he's going to be given a reward for that. Even though this is his duty, but he's going to be given a reward. Even for a small piece of bread, a morsel of bread, he puts in his wife's mouth. When he feeds her, he's going to get a reward for that. Though this is his duty. Why? Because of his heart. He wants to please God with this. And this is amazing. This is great. And look at this. So, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he said, will I be left behind my companions? He said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was afraid to die in Mecca. Why? Because those people emigrated from Mecca to Medina in the very beginning of Islam, when Muslims were persecuted in Mecca and they were killed by pagans, and this is very close to what is going on these days also, that a lot of Muslims are persecuted and are being killed all over the world. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and those people, those companions, emigrated with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. Then when God made his prophet able to conquer Mecca, and Mecca became a Muslim city, and it became part of the Islamic nation again, the companions hated, and also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hated for them to die in Mecca. Yeah, they can go visit Mecca anytime, they can go for Hajj, they can go for the pilgrimage, but they hated to die in Mecca. Why? They wanted to die as emigrants. They wanted to die as emigrants, people who left Mecca and lived with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. So they wanted to die there. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was worried. He didn't want to die in Mecca. He wanted to die as an emigrant, as a person who left his city to support Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to support Islam. So he's worried about that. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you remain behind, whatever good deed you will do for Allah's sake, intentions again, will raise and upgrade you to a higher position in Allah's sight. Whatever you do, only for the sake of God, to please God, this act, this deed is going to put you in a higher position. It's going to make you higher in the eyes of God. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, maybe you will live longer so that some people may benefit by you and some others may get harmed by you. And it happened. So that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may God be pleased with him, he lived and he didn't die in this situation. And he lived a long life and he fought with Muslims' army. So really, lots of people, okay, got benefits through Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Muslims. He was fighting along with Muslims against pagans. So pagans were harmed by him. And Muslims benefited from him. Okay? Now, then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for his companions and said, oh Allah, oh God, complete the migration of my companions and do not turn them on their heels. He wanted his companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to die in Medina as immigrants, as they did. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but we pity the poor Sa'd ibn Khawla. Why? Because Sa'd ibn Khawla radiallahu anhu, may God be pleased with him, he died in Mecca after he immigrated to Medina. Okay? So, now of course the morals out of this hadith, as we said, number one, visiting the ill. And as you see, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit ill people. And this is something that is supporting Islam. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, God will talk to everyone and God will say to his slaves or to one of his slaves, to one of his servants, I was ill and you didn't visit me. So his servant would say, oh God, how could you become ill? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, didn't you know that my servant so and so and so was ill and you didn't, and I was with him and you didn't visit him? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that God is always with ill people and diseased people. God is always with them. So if you want to see God, if you want to visit God, go visit your ill friend. And go visit those who suffer. Go to them in hospital and visit them. You'll find God there. And God is going to ask you on the day of judgment why you didn't visit him. And this is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. He went and visited Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Now, number two, ill people who expect death are not allowed to give more than the third of the money in charity. Clear. And number three, if he were healthy or with a disease that is not dangerous, he could do whatever he wants with his money. Okay? And we explained that. Number four, he is not supposed to give all his money in charity except he knows that he has got something to keep him able to live a decent life. And this is a very important point. I am a Muslim, for example, and I have money. God gave me money. I'm not supposed to take all my money to give in charity and leave nothing for me. Then I turned into a beggar. It's not logic. Not logical at all. Yes, give out of your money for charity. Give a lot of your money for charity. Whatever you want, but keep for yourself, okay, what makes you able to live an honorable life. Like you don't turn into a beggar asking people for money. It's not right. Okay? And also number five, the best thing is to give something less than the third of your money in charity, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the third is so much. Number six, leaving your money to the heirs is better than giving it in charity before death. Why? For if you left the money to your heirs, your relatives wouldn't enjoy it. But if you gave it in charity, people whom you don't know would enjoy it. And the charity for relatives is better than the charity for strangers. Because you are supposed to start with those who are close to you. Okay? Now. But another question. Why giving money to relatives is better than giving it to others? Because it is not only charity, it is strengthens also family relations. And this is also very great. So you need to give money in charity. And you know that your cousin is poor, very poor, and he hardly finds something to eat. Go give him the money. What are you waiting for? Why are you giving this money to a stranger? Why you have your cousin who is suffering a lot? Okay? And subhanAllah, some people they take money, I mean they give all this money like for animals or for dogs, for dog hospitals or for stray animals. Okay? And while they have relatives who have nothing to eat. Is that logical? Of course not. Start with your fellow human, start with your brothers, start with your sisters, start with your family members. And number 8. For Allah's sake, for Allah's face. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith said, for Allah's face. But we don't actually translate it for Allah's face. We say for Allah's sake. Because for Allah's face is not generally or totally understood, maybe for English people speaking English now, but in Arabic when we say liwajhillah or for Allah's face, we mean by that for Allah's sake. But why for Allah's face? What does it mean? Because in Islam, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, we believe in paradise, and we believe that the greatest reward in paradise is to see the face of God. This is the greatest thing. It is the greatest pleasure, is to see the face of God. And this is why, okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, for the face of God. For the face of God, which means that you do things only to be rewarded in the hereafter, the gift of seeing God's face. Okay, and this is great, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we are going to see the face of God as we see the full moon in a clear sky, inshallah. But not everybody, people who do good, not people who do evil things. Okay, now Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is also a very important hadith, Allah does not look at your bodies nor your faces, but He does look at your hearts. How great! How great! Away with racism! Away with racial segregation! No more differences. Humans are all alike. Again, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah does not look at your bodies. It doesn't make any difference for God. Whether you're strong or you're weak, you're tall or you're short, you're heavyweight or you're thin, it doesn't make any sense for God. It doesn't mean anything to God. Nor your faces. God does not look at your color. You are not good because you're white, and you're not good because you're black, and you're not good because you're Asian, and you're not good because you're Arab, and you're not good because you're German, and you're not good because you're an English person. No, never. Never. But He does look at your heart. You are better because your heart is more faithful. Your heart is cleaner. Your heart is more sincere. This is what makes you good. That's it. This is the balance here. This is the real measure. So God does not look at bodies. God does not look at faces. God does not look at colors. God does not look at languages. God does look at hearts. Make your hearts right. Make your hearts right. This is what you should do. This is what you should go for. Clean your heart to be closer to God. And this is why, again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no difference between a foreigner and an Arab, except through righteousness. For example, a Pakistani person is not less valuable than an Arab person because he's not speaking Arabic. No. The better one is the one who obeys God more. So if you obey God, you are better. So in Islam, the measurements are not related to races, ethnicities, or languages. Heart is the real thing here. Not colors, not races at all. And look at this. This is why God says in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know each other. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous of you. And Allah has full knowledge and is well acquainted with all things. That is great. Now look at this again. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous of you. This is the balance here. Who is the most honored in the sight of God? The most righteous. That's it. Not the one who has money. Not the one who has palaces. Not kings and presidents. No. People who have pure hearts. People who have pure hearts. Now, and this is why God says in the Holy Quran, does he not know when that which is in the graves is scattered abroad? And that which is locked up in human breasts is made manifest. God said in the Holy Quran, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ حُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Again, does he not know? God is asking here, talking about himself. Does he not know when that which is in the graves is scattered abroad? God knows exactly where everybody's bones are. If they were buried long time ago, God knows exactly everything and every single detail. And then the verses continue, and that which is locked up in human breasts is made manifest. And on that day, God is going to make everything manifest and clear. Even the smallest things that you used to hide deep down in your heart are going to be very manifest on the day of judgment. And this is why one of the followers of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Makhul, may God be pleased with him, he said, whenever a servant remains truly faithful for 40 days, fountains of wisdom flow out of his tongue and heart. Fountains of wisdom flow out of his tongue and heart, because wisdom is not given to anybody. Wisdom is given to people who are sincere, to people who are faithful to God. He said, just 40 days, try to remain faithful to God. Just 40 days, and you're going to be very wise. The gift of wisdom is going to be given to you, just like that, simply. Your heart will overflow with it. Your tongue will overflow with wisdom, just because you obey God. And this is why also, one of the great scholars in Islam, whose name Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, and he was explaining a verse in the Holy Quran, which says, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورِ. He who created death and life, that he may try which of you is best indeed, and he is the exalted in might, oath forgiving. Again, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورِ. He who created death and life, that he may try which of you is best indeed, and he is the exalted in might, oft forgiving. Which of you is best of deeds? So, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad explained what is meant in the verse by best indeed. Who are you best? Who among you is best indeed? He said, the best deed is the most sincere and right. The most sincere and right. For if the deed is right but not sincere, it won't be accepted. And if the deed is sincere but not right, it won't be accepted. The deed must be done for the sake of God. And the deed is right when it's according to the Sunnah. Again, this is very important. So Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad is trying to explain what God meant by best indeed. So he said that the best deed is the deed that is right and sincere. Sincere, you do it only for the sake of God. And right, you do it according to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Sunnah. Then he recited one of the verses in the Holy Quran that says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Say, I am but a man like yourselves, but the inspiration has come to me that your God is one God. Whoever expects to meet his Lord, let him work righteousness, and in the worship of his Lord, admit no one as partner. No one as partner. You do the deed only for God. You don't do good deeds so that people look at you, or for people to praise you. You do it just for God. Now, another hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's narrated by Abu Musa, may God be pleased with him. He said, a man came to the Prophet and asked, a man fights for war booty, another fights for fame, and a third fights for showing off. Which of them fights in Allah's cause? The Prophet ﷺ said, he who fights that Allah's word should be superior fights in Allah's cause. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. God is great. A very, very nice hadith, a very nice saying, and very good question that was answered by Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. A man came to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ asking him about fighting. Which fighting, which jihad is for the sake of God? I mean, how can we differentiate? Are those people are fighting for God or not? So he asked him, what about a man fighting for war booty? Or a man fighting for fame? Or a man fighting for showing off? Which one, which fight is for God? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who fights that Allah's word should be superior fights in Allah's cause. Just for that. If you fight that the word of Allah, that the religion of Allah becomes superior, so you fight in the cause of God. But not for war booty, not for money, not for the pleasure of this world, not for a land, not for an area, not for worldly gains, not for fame, Not for people to say that you are a courageous person, a brave one. No. Not for that at all. If the fighting is just for God, if fighting is just for God, so it is for God. And there is something here that is very important that we need to explain. Jihad in Islam, which is fighting the enemies of Allah and fighting the enemies of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who attack Muslims and attack the lands. It's only for the sake of God according to conditions. Like many people make many mistakes. Like some people fight, they say, we fight for Arabs. This is not Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't fight for Arabs. This is racism. This is racism. Islam is not about an ethnic people. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about racism. It's not about Arabs or Jews or you know, like Russians or whatever. Islam is for God. Not for people speaking Arabic. It's for everyone. So a Spanish Muslim is better in my eyes than an Egyptian pagan. I love him. I like him more than I like this Egyptian pagan. I don't care. Muslims, we don't care about nationalities. We don't care about lands. We care just about one thing. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. This is what we care about. We care about monotheism, we care about religion. But we're not racist. True Muslims are not racist. We don't care about languages, we don't care about tongues, we don't care about colors. We care about hearts, intentions. This is what Islam is all about. So a Pakistani Muslim is better for me than an Arab pagan or an Arab atheist. Of course. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. And some people say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the love of your country is part of your faith. And this is not a true hadith, not an authentic one. Yes, of course, everyone loves this country. Which means that, yes, this is the land in which you were born. And in which you were brought up. Of course, everybody loves the place he was brought up in. But for Muslims, yes, we love lands, but not more than God. Not more than God. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from Mecca. But when people in Mecca were pagans and fought Allah and his messenger, what happened? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Mecca, emigrated, went to Medina and started fighting, started a jihad with people of Medina against the pagans in Mecca. So, he didn't say, I am from Mecca, so I'm supporting Mecca. No, it's not that. This is not a balance in Islam. This is not a criteria. The criteria in Islam is different. In Islam, we care about religion, about God and his messenger. So, if somebody is fighting for his country, do not be so happy. It's not for God. You can fight for your country because it's a Muslim country and this way you are supporting Islam. If this is your intention, this is okay. But if you're fighting for your country because it's your country, so go fight for it. But do not expect anything from God. Because your intention should be with God, not with the land, not with the frontiers. Islam is not a piece of land upon which it is written that this is Islam. It's not a piece of land. Islam is in hearts. We belong to every Muslim in the whole world. This is Islam. This is true Islam. So it's not about countries. It's not about Arabs. It's not about nationality. No nationality is in Islam. All Muslims are brothers. All Muslims are brothers. I don't like this person because he's from Saudi or because he's Algerian or because he's English or because he's American. I love him because he's a Muslim brother. Yes, I mean this, so the connection. Sisters, may Allah purify our hearts and make our intentions in the right place. And I ask God to gather us together, inshallah, in the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, along with his Prophet Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the prophets. And I really hope to see you again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.